this, Lord. He's a good God, isn't he? God is good. God is great. Everyone gets settled in, nestled into their little seats. I saw Jewish men, you know, wrapped in their tallits, dancing before God in heaven. Just makes me cry. He's a good God who hasn't forgotten my people. Wow, Shabbat Shalom. It's over now. Praise God. Well, we've been talking about truth. We've been talking about the kingdom of truth. We've been talking about hunger and passion for truth. Jesus said, my word is truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Could you imagine standing before him there in the streets of Jerusalem and have him utter those words? I am the way and the truth and the life. I can just envision him pointing at the temple and saying, no man enters unto the Father but by me. And if the people of his time could have heard those words, And the words could have gone into the heart, penetrated the heart, and the reality of the truth enlightened their eyes. They would have stood there in silent awe, knowing they were standing before their Messiah, for whom they had waited so many millennia. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man enters in before the Shekinah. But by me. I am the lampstand. I am the showbread. I am the lamb. I am your high priest, O beloved Israel. I am the truth for whom you have been seeking all these many generations.
Yes. Yes.
You study Moses and you look for me. And I'm telling you, I am here. I am the truth. If only his words could have broken the veil over their precious hearts. Every word going deep to the inner sanctums of their soul, unlocking the hidden mysteries laying dormant in the scriptures they knew so well. What would have happened? They would have stood there in silent awe. 1 year when I took a prayer journey, took a team with me to pray through Israel, we went up to the Mount of Beatitudes. And as I stood at the top of the mount, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to read the Beatitudes from here again. So I began to do it. And as I did, I saw the Lord. He was standing atop the mountain. And I saw my people all laced coming up the mountain. You know, just laced. Sitting there, along the mountainside. And I heard him speak the Beatitudes to them. And I began to weep. I realized that he had given them the eternal mysteries. We marvel that he broke the loaves and the fishes and fed the 5,000. But that was nothing compared to the fact that he was giving the words of God. The Son, the Messiah, speaking the eternal words of truth to my people in person. That is amazing. There they sat on the side of the mountain, looking up to him, listening to him speak. He was the one they had worshipped for generations. And there he stood before their very faces, speaking the words and the mysteries of eternity. And as he spoke, their souls began to fill. And they were feeling so fed. The shepherd of Israel. But seeing, they did not see. And hearing, they could not hear. Truth. The heart can deny truth. Even spoken out of the very mouth of God himself before you, the heart can deny truth. But in this day and in this hour, let not your heart deny truth. Seek it with all of your might. Seek it with all of your strength, your soul, your mind, your heart. Pray for it. Fast for it. Live for it. Live to drink at the fountain of truth. Because it is truth that will transform you into the image of the Son. You who were not a people are now called his people. To be transformed into the glory of the sons of God. Seek truth, which you were fed at the hands of men, cannot transform you. The teachers of this generation, of this era, the teachers on the news, the teachers of the media, the teachers of the newspaper, the teachers on the radio. I'm talking about the secular teachers, those who teach you day and night, lead you so far from truth, they keep you stunted, and you forget that you are the children of the living God. You take a mediocre life in Christ and you accept it. They can't lift you higher. How can they? What do you care what the world is doing, my dear friends? What you care about is what the kingdom of God is doing. That is it. Don't go to the places where you are fed manna from hell. It will keep your soul pulled down, glued to this earth. Glued to the world. Your soul will remain stunted. Your spirit will have no strength. The words of the kingdom of darkness cannot give you light. And your spirit needs light. When you're sitting next to a Christian and that Christian starts feeding you darkness, get up and walk away. You don't need your soul bogged down with darkness. You need to be lifted up in the light where you can gain strength, wisdom, understanding, the knowledge of God. Where you can grow and mature and become a son of his glory. Run after the light. Run after the light. You are children of the light. You are not children of the darkness anymore. Put down the books that the children of the darkness write. Put down the magazines that the children of the darkness write. Put down the newspapers that the children of the darkness write. Turn off the internet. When the words that are coming into you are written by the children of darkness, you are not children of darkness, you are children of the light. Seek the light. Drink from the light. That will cause you to grow and become strong in God. Only the light can overpower the darkness. You cannot do it in your own strength. You cannot do it in your own soul. You can't drink of the cup of devils and expect your own soul to have the strength to overcome his wisdom. To overcome his temptations, to overcome the ways that he tries to seduce you away from the light. You do not have the strength in yourself. You must drink from the light, that the light may encourage you, give you wisdom, give you understanding, give you strength to overcome the wiles of the evil one. This is the only way. You are a generation most blessed. No generation in the history of man has been called to walk in the blessings you have been called to walk in. And from whom? How do I say that? How does the Bible read it? To whom much is given, much is required. Will you resent the price? Will you resent the cost? No! Pay it! The light is worth it! The kingdom is worth it! Truth is worth it! Pay it! Pay the price to be transformed by the light. Listen, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man entereth into the Father but by me. Where do you want to go? Then why are you not spending your life beholding the way, the truth, and the life? He can't lead you if you won't follow. You were destined to follow. I love it when people tell me, I want to go deep in God, but you correct them and they get angry. And so that's not part of walking with Jesus. Don't you know that's what Israel did? They resented correction. They were rebellious, stubborn, thick-headed. And we are still. But that's why it's taken so many thousands of years for God to get our attention. You don't have that much time. You cannot drink of the river of life sitting at the table of the world. Can you not see it? Will you not understand? You keep walking in the ways of your flesh, you will never drink of the river of life. How do you get such glorious water walking in the ways of your flesh? When you walk in the ways of your flesh, you are sitting in the waters of the world. And they're putrid waters. They can't satisfy, they don't even satisfy your thirst, let alone profit your soul. Get away from the putrid waters and come to the waters of life. There you will find the life that will lead you into the Father. Don't stay in hope in this life that someday in the by and by you'll get to see the Father. You were created to know him now. You were created to taste and see that God is good. You were created to live in the life of the Son now. Don't say it's not for me, because if you do, it will be true. You alone can make the decision of where you're going to walk in God. He has destined you for greatness. For greatness. He's destined you to walk with him the way Jesus walked with him. He's destined you to walk in the light as he walked in the light.
He has destined you to rule and reign as kings in this life. But how can you be trained in the way of the kingdom sitting in front of the television? Sitting at the table of the world. Unwilling to be corrected.
I want to know Jesus like you want it, like you know Jesus. That's what I want. But you cannot be corrected. You're walking a crooked path, and a person can't even tell you that. Let alone tell you why your path is correct, you're crooked. How will you ever find truth if you cannot be corrected? You must eat the food of correction. You must. It is the way of life in the kingdom. But where there's correction, there's light. And the light will fill your soul in God. Hunger and thirst for correction. If you're doing it wrong, hunger, fast, pray that God will correct you. You want it so badly. Your spirit man craves it. Your spirit man is crying out for it before the throne day and night. The Holy Spirit in you is crying out for it before the throne day and night. Corrector, corrector, give her grace to receive the correction. Lord, corrector, correct him. Don't let him go astray. Correct him. Your spirit man agrees with the Holy Spirit before the throne of God. Jesus is sitting on the throne. Praying to the Father, correct, correct, correct the wrong that they may enter in to the eternal glory now. Love correction is the way of humility. Where there's humility, there's love and wisdom. And light and life. God wants to lift you up. He wants to strengthen your inner man. Not only to behold his glory. Solomon built the temple. The glory fell. And what did the priests do? They all fell. Because the glory was so great, they could not stand. But God wants a priesthood that stands. He wants you not only to be encompassed by the glory, but he wants you to be filled with the glory. He wants you to be dispensers of the glory. He wants a priesthood that can stand. It is your destiny. It is your destiny to be dispensers of his glory. It is your destiny to be filled with his glory. It is your destiny to stand before the Father and enjoy the fellowship of the Father in this life. That is your destiny. Sit before the waters of light. Get away from the waters of darkness, the ways of the world. You don't need them. The world tells you, you do. And it will show you every kind of picture it can put before you on the internet, on the television, in the magazines. It will always show you. If they can't get you any other way, it will be in the marketplace. Everywhere you go, the world is telling you what you need. But have you ever noticed how simply our Lord Jesus Christ lived? He needed so little because he was sufficient. In the sufficiency of the Father. We don't need any of the things the world tells us we need. Amen? Amen? Are you sure? Are you really sure? We don't need it. What we need is God. What we need is the light. What we need is to fulfill our destiny. That's what we need. If people start speaking to you, tearing you away from your destiny, do you sit and listen and enjoy their comforting words? No! Their destiny may not be your destiny. What you want is to fulfill your destiny. In God. That's why Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, the day is here. It is here. It is here for destinies to be awakened. The time is now for your soul to come alive in the life of God. For the very destiny for which you were created to be awakened within you so that you can fulfill it. Your destiny is very important to God. You are very important to God. You'd be amazed at how important you really are. If we really understood just how important we are, we would never have unbelief and doubt and fear. Each one of his own is so very important. He marked out the plan for your life before ever he created you. Meticulous care went in to creating you perfectly for the plan he had for your life. Your personality, the experiences that you would experience in this life, the family you would have, the good and the bad, it was all part of the equation. Where you were born, where you were raised, it was all part of the equation. The acceptance you would know, the rejection you would know, it was all part of the equation. Before ever he created you, and it was all there to prepare you for your destiny. A destiny that was so important to him that he created you specifically for it. Your DNA has in it your destiny. Only you can fulfill your destiny. There is no other. No other can fulfill your destiny. So if you don't fulfill it, it isn't fulfilled. You suffer the loss. The church suffers the loss. The world suffers the loss. God suffers the loss. Everybody suffers the loss if you don't fulfill your call. If you don't fulfill your destiny in God. And how can you do that if you don't walk very close to him? You must rise up. You must. This is the day. This is the hour to come. Rise up in God. Be recreated into the image of Christ. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 4. You all know the scripture. You all know the passage. We'll start at verse 9. So then, there is still awaiting a full and complete Sabbath rest, reserved for the true people of God. For he who has once entered God's rest also has ceased from the weariness and pain of human labors, just as God rested from those labors, peculiarly his own. Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter the rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience into which those in the wilderness fell. For the word of God, can we exchange the word for the word truth? For the truth of God, the truth that God speaks, is alive, full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, of the deepest parts of our inner nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging and the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. What is the rest? It is union with Christ, where your sinful nature is experientially crucified. Christ comes in to rule and reign in your soul, filling your soul with himself. Your passions are now consumed in his passions. All passions affected by the sinful nature are effectively put to death. He lives his life out through you. It's a wonderful, wonderful life. You're at rest in God. You're no longer striving to live like a Christian. He lives his life, that life which is required before the throne of God through you. That is the rest. There's still awaiting the full and complete rest. For who? For who? You! If you belong to him, the rest awaits you. Purpose and plan destined for you to be consumed in God, your soul consumed in God, in the power and in the life of God. It's greater than walking in the anointing. It's greater than coming into a service and being overtaken by the anointing. It's greater than that. Much, much greater. Now, your soul is swallowed up in God. It's for you. and it awaits you. Be zealous. Strive diligently. Be jealous for the life. Don't be jealous for the world. Don't be jealous for the privileges of the world. You don't need those. They're privileges of darkness. You don't want those. Your flesh says you do, but your spirit is ever warring against your flesh. No, you don't. You don't need those. They're privileges of darkness. You're a child of the light. You don't need those. Anything that incites your passion toward anything other than God to you is sin. Is that easy enough? Is that clear enough? When you're sitting there and you're eating that chocolate bar, and if your heart is not filling full of fiery passion for God with every delicious bite, to you it is sin. If you're sitting in the movies and you're watching the movies and every thought is not being riveted on God, every moment being inflamed with passion to worship Him by what is before your eyes, you are in sin. Well, that is a little extreme, sister. No, it isn't. Don't lust after the desserts of the world, the privileges of darkness. Don't lust after those things. If you do, every time you yield to that lust, you are losing ground in God. Make a decision. Where do you want to walk? With whom do you want to walk? What do you want to be by the time your life is done on this earth? If you want to be a good Sunday Christian, even serving the Lord, but not made into the image of the Son, living in the mature sonship, if that's where you want to live, live and enjoy it to the uttermost. Enjoy it as much as you can, but then don't go into the prayer closet and say, God, I want you so bad, because you're lying to Him and you're lying to yourself. You cannot have the world and have God too. But if you will give up the world, you can have all of God you want. American Christianity is going to fall at the feet of Babylon. And the Christianity that is going to arise out of the dust and ashes is the Christianity of the true kingdom. The truth that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. Is this legal to read this to you? Yes. Jesus himself read this to me. I corrected him and I said, that's not the way it reads. And I quoted it to him right out of the King James. And he said, Nita, open your Amplified. I am quoting it out of the Amplified. And in this hour, this passage will be fulfilled in all the earth. When the truth enters into you, let it cut asunder between soul and spirit, between joints and marrow. Don't hold anything back from God. Let it go in. Let it correct you. Let it reduce you. Let it remove you. Let it fill you with God. Let the life of the word sift you, analyze you, dishevel you, and rebuild you. Let the truth that God speaks be alive, active, energizing, operative. Let it be living in you. Don't shut it down. Don't shut it out. Let it correct you and change you and transform you into his image. It is to this that you were called. You were created to bear the image of the Son, not of Adam. Be happy in truth. Let your fulfillment be in truth. Let your passion be provoked by truth. I feel God's heart right now, and what I'm feeling is weeping. I'm feeling his weeping because you're sitting here, you're listening. But even as you're listening, you're shutting walls in your heart. And God is weeping. He wants the doors open. He wants the walls down. He wants you to let truth do the work. The lie cannot bring you into the fullness of your creation, of your calling. The truth and the truth alone can bring you into it. Let it do its lofty work. Yes, Lord, I will change. I can change. With you, anything is possible. I can be in you whatever you want me to be. All things are possible with God. Live by the truth. Fight for the truth. Drink the truth. When the truth is allowed to be all that it can be, it transforms your very soul because it is the life of God. It isn't words black and white on a page. It is living. It is living. It is more alive than you. You walk in life, but you're not life. Truth is life. Let God run your engine. Let God stir your passion. Quit dumbing down the life he wants to give you. Quit numbing out the faith he wants to breathe into you. Let truth lift you up to the glory you were created to bear. Let it do what it's being sent out to do. Please open the gateway of your heart and let the truth do its work. Do not be children anymore, tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine, by every circumstance, by every belief system and ideology that the world wants to give you. Stop! Drink of the waters of light. Let the truth heal you, restore you, build you, teach you, make you all that God wants you to be. You don't have to live under it anymore. The day you gave your heart to Jesus, he put you into a destiny not to be ruled, but to rule. Not to be the tail, but to be the head. This is true. It is truth. It's not just something to say to the enemy. It is truth. Believe it. Let it consume you. Let it change you. I'm just exploding inside. I wish everything that was going on inside of me could go on inside of you. My dear brothers and sisters, it is time. It is time. It is time to come out of the old and come into the new. Let the wineskin be burst and let the wine be free to do its work. Come up into the radiance of God. Come up and be filled with the glory of the Son. Don't go the old way anymore. Change. When you sit in front of this book, cry out to God, I want to know you. I want to know truth. I want to become truth. Teach me your way, O God, that I may be pleasing in your sight. And if I have found favor in your sight, teach me your way. I want truth. I want to eat it. I want to drink it. I want to see it. I want to live in it. I want to become it. Fast and pray. When you open this book, open it as though it were a matter of life and death, because every day it is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the sharp two-edged sword move across your heart. Let it shake everything that can be shaken, that which cannot be shaken may remain. And you may be an edifice of God. That you may be part of the ark of glory of these last days. I can promise you what has been is going to be removed. It is going to fall like ashes before the feet of Babylon. And if you're not pressing into God with all of your heart, how will you run the race of what is going to be brand new? We sit in church and we sing, oh, the glory of your presence. We, your temple, give you praise. Have you ever thought about those words? Oh, the glory of your presence. Crave his presence. If it is glorious here, it is glorious at 6 o'clock in the morning in your home. If it is glorious here, it is glorious at 12 o'clock noon in your work. If it is glorious here, it is glorious at 6 o'clock at night at home with your family. Oh, the glory of your presence. Give him praise. Seek his face. Desire him more than life. And he will lift you up and he will make you great. Because it's your destiny. You have been destined to become great in God. Esther could have run from that destiny, but God gave her great wisdom. And instead of running, she bowed the knee when it could have cost her life. And the minute she did that, she was made great in the kingdom. You're not an Esther because you want to be. You're an Esther because there's something noble in your heart that says, my life is without worth or value if I am not giving it for the purpose for which I have been created. You are noble only in God. There's nothing noble about your flesh. There's nothing noble about your heart. But in God, you're as noble as Esther. There is a call going out by the Spirit of God. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro across the earth, looking for the one, the one, looking for the one whose eyes are set upon him. Whose heart is set to obey at any cost. Whose heart hungers for that which will profit. Whose heart wants him alone. And in his searching, I promise you, when he finds such a heart, he will move heaven and earth for you. He will move heaven and earth for you. When you determine, like Moses, that you're going to go up to the top of the mount and there live in God, when you make that determination and you let nothing get in your way, Moses was single-visioned. He wasn't going up the mountain backwards, looking down over Israel, thinking about what he was giving up. He was going up to the top of the mountain with his eyes set on God. What he saw at the top of the mountain, which was shaking and trembling, incidentally, a very shaky walk to go. Shaking and trembling, the trumpets blaring, the fire all around the top of the mountain. He was walking up this top of the mountain, and it was terrifying. He shuddered in fear. It was terrifying. He never knew the mountain was shaking and trembling. Would he make it to the top? When he got there, how would he get through the fire to God? What were the trumpet blasts all about? What was going on? But he never flinched. He looked steadfastly at the call. Moses, come up. No matter how many times he had to stand still and stabilize his feet to keep walking up, he did it. A few cuts, a few bruises, a few times falling here or there, but still he kept climbing. The closer he got, the hotter the fire was. What am I going to do with my blazing flesh when I get into the fire? Can you see it? Nevertheless, he heard the call, Moses, come up. So he went up. When he got there, he was dirty, tattered, bruised, cut. And he had to go through the fire. And he went through it. And he found out that the fire was nothing but a circle of angels singing the praises of God. He got through the fire, and there he saw the most astounding thing his eyes had ever beheld. He saw God. He saw God. He saw God. How could he have ever known that by the time this visitation ended, ...80 days of fasting upon truth, fasting upon spirit and life, beholding the face of God, that he would come down from that mountain shining with the very glory he'd been standing before. How could he have ever known? He didn't know. He didn't know. He just knew he heard a voice. And it said, "Moses, come up." And from that moment on, he had to obey. Will you? Will you fear the sword? Will you fear the cutting and the bruising? Will you fear the fire? Or will you humble yourself and come up? I don't have to say, "Thus saith the Lord." It's in his word. If you will come up, you will find God. And you too will be clothed with the glory of the sun. I don't have to stand here and act like a prophet. It's in his word. You were destined. Will you answer your destiny? Come up and find him. Come here and find him. Answer your call.